Hello, I'm Vantone Quinlivan, CEO of Futuro Health, welcoming you to Workforce RX, an exploration of innovations shaping the future of learning, work, and care. Studies show that when it comes to getting people interested in any career, early exposure can make a significant impact on their ultimate choice. That helps explain why a program in Nebraska that is aimed at cultivating interest in healthcare careers begins in the third grade. The Health Careers Pipeline Initiative is just one of several workforce development strategies being pursued by the Nebraska Hospital Association under the guidance of Dr. Stacy Okander, the association's Senior Director of Workforce and Education Initiatives. As the lead consultant on the National Health Careers Pathway Program, Stacy led the development of a core curriculum in entry-level healthcare professions across 150 community colleges, high schools, and workforce organizations. She also brings clinical experience to her current work, having spent many years as a CNA and athletic trainer in orthopedic surgery, sports medicine, and rehabilitation. Thanks so much for joining us today, Stacy.
Thank you, Vaughn. It's so good to see you, and I really appreciate the chance to be with you. I reflected on the fact I started as a candy striper when I was 14 and am moving through to now just have the opportunity to help others in their pathway is certainly something I'm excited about.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Well, you know, as our listeners know, Stacy, states across the country are in a healthcare workforce crisis, and Nebraska, I would imagine, is no exception, with 10% of its counties having no registered nurse at all. Please help us paint a fuller picture of the challenge you are facing there in Nebraska.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, you are exactly right. Everyone across the country is facing a healthcare workforce crisis. And we've seen it over how many years, you know, where we will peak and valley, right? Feast or famine. And I think the response to that feast and famine has often been, we repeat history. Right? We reinvent the same programs maybe we worked on 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and that's going to be the solution. What we're looking at here in Nebraska, just as a snapshot, because there's certainly more, but our youth are leaving our state. Our kids are not working in the rural areas anymore. I wish I could say that every state had 100% high school graduation rate, and that's not the case. We're facing a maternal desert 300 miles wide in the middle of our state. So when you think about that, a maternal desert, and I think back, my son is 24, and as a young parent, would I have moved somewhere where I couldn't get that maternal child care? Well, most likely not. You know, and then retirement. Healthcare is hard work, right? No matter what you do in healthcare, it's hard work. And our bodies will only sustain so much. Our hearts will only sustain so much. And the way that we give back often is because we need to move into a different position, but not leave the profession.
I'd love to probe on your mention of rural communities. What makes rural communities different when it comes to the healthcare workforce as compared to maybe the urban centers, for example?
Absolutely. I'm a Northwest Iowa country girl, so rural America is deeply seated in my heart. When I think of any solution, I, of course, default back to what I know. What I grew up with. I was fortunate enough that the closest hospital was 20 minutes away. We certainly did not have healthcare in our hometown. Our EMS and fire was all volunteer, and to this day, they are still volunteer. You know, the need for EMS services across this country is at a critical mass. And we can certainly, you know, talk about that as we talk about other allied health workforce issues. But what I think is different is you know everybody in your hometown. So that adds a whole different dynamic to the healthcare worker. When someone walks in the door, you know the people who love them. They may be one of your own family members. You may be coming in today thinking you're going to do CNA work, and you may be pulled to do unit secretary work. I went out on a hospital visit a while ago, and the CEO of the hospital, who's also a nurse, got pulled into surgery. You know, and so those are the things we don't necessarily see in our urban areas because, you know, basically the volume of people that are living in that area. But I will tell you, there's still a workforce shortage in our urban areas. There are still a need to staff. There's still a need for incentives, looking at top of scope. All of those things happen across both demographics. It's the approach to which we can take based upon how many people we have to pull from.
And usually in the rural areas, there may be one higher education institution compared to maybe some of the denser areas. What's the situation in Nebraska?
Yeah, we have a very strong community college system spread across our state. Certainly, they all, you know, serve a different population. Their enrollments are much different. We have, you know, basically the university system. I will tell you that, you know, the university system has made great gains of spreading across the state to try to get more access, not necessarily at entry level, which we all know is where our critical mass is for workforce, but certainly for anyone going on from their entry level, whether it be, say, an ADN or ASN for the nursing pathway. But we also have our private institutions. And I will tell you, in our solutions that we work towards at NHA, we partner with every single one of them. You know, we look at every single one of them as part of our solution. And I think often we think, oh, the private schools are just, you know, kind of out of reach for us. They are so flexible in what we can and can't do because they're not tied in a university, large system. And so we rely on each and every one of them across our state. So I would not say that academic access is as much of an issue for us as I would say awareness of the academics that are offered is what we are faced with, which leads us to starting a pipeline in third grade.
Yeah. So let's talk about the allied health workforce. You mentioned entry-level roles in healthcare, which is about 65% of the healthcare workforce. What challenges are you facing out there? You mentioned awareness.
But definitely awareness, being current in everything, whether that be regulation, policy, you know, how we're addressing volunteer to paid, how we're addressing in the field for like EMS to the ER or the emergency department. We are at a critical shortage in med lab scientists, med lab techs. We are in a critical mass shortage for rad techs, you know, and all those things that I think people think if you get so many miles outside of our urban areas, those are not services that need to be provided. They absolutely are. We may not be hiring 20 of each of those in one of our smaller hospitals, but we still need them. And even our big systems are needing those. I will tell you, the majority of the next 6 months of our work will be focused on not only continuing the great projects that we have in place now, but really focusing on the EMS issue in our state. As we know nationally, that has to be something talked about.
And tell us about the composition of the healthcare providers who are members of your Nebraska Hospital Association.
So we have 92 member hospitals, critical access. We have an REH, a rural. We're comprised of a ton of different makeups, right? There may be a hospital up in north central Nebraska that has a census of two, but their quick clinics are very, very busy. They are running on step down beds. You know, we're facing an issue of hospital hoteling and how do we move patients on, you know, to that next facility or to home when there's not care there or access to home health. Our members are very diverse, all 92 of them. The senior leadership at the Nebraska Hospital Association, every year we divide up all of our hospitals and we rotate that list and we visit every one of our 92 member hospitals. And it gives us just a broad understanding of what a day in the life looks like. But then it also helps us to help them know what they can pull in resources from each other. How do they partner?
And in listening to the 92 hospitals, you've crafted some strategies for changing the course in Nebraska. So talk us through that and who are your key partners?
Right. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that at NHA, we consider everybody a potential partner. There's not an exclusion. But I will tell you that our approach is partnering with people who want to find all the reasons to say yes before they consider no. And I almost want to say, like, that's the prerequisite, you know? Like, if you come to the table thinking of saying no, please don't come to the table because that's not where we're at. That's not what we need to do.
You're looking for a coalition of the willing?
You know it, Vaughn. And you know, in years past, we know what that looks like, right? And we know how much energy is taken in the unwilling that really halts all progress forward. So yes, we absolutely, we want that willing. I laugh because one of our first projects when I first came on to NHA a year ago was one of our rural hospitals. And I said to the CEO, I don't have everything in place yet, but I just need you to say yes. I said, I know that this sounds like madness. I just need you to trust me. And she said, okay. And it's just amazing what's been going on now in that small rural hospital. But she knew that NHA was going to lead her in the right direction. So you asked me about our partners. I will tell you one of our absolute strongest partners is the Nebraska Center for Nursing. If anyone in any state thinks that they are the barrier, I would encourage them to develop a relationship. There is not a thing that really happens at the Center for Nursing where NHA has not had the opportunity to be at the table. Weekly conversations, we've helped redesign their website, which has become a recruitment tool. It is an absolute machine in data collection. You know, and that saves resources, right, Vaughn? If we're not paying money that somebody else has already spent to collect data that's right there and it's rich and useful data, we can allocate those resources somewhere else. And you do that when you have relationships and you have partners. So that's first and foremost. And this is going to sound strange, but our legislature. And I say that because our legislature passed LB 227, which is millions and millions of dollars that have honestly allowed us to be innovative. It has allowed us to be creative disruptors, to not do what we always did, but to find a better way of doing things. And I know often people say, oh, I can't get through that legislature. It's really building out the story, right? And letting them in to see what's the data look like and reporting your successes and finding your champions in the legislature. And the other day I teased some of our team and I said, I think this particular senator has become my new spirit animal, you know, just because they understand what the state looks like.
And could you, before you go on, could you share a little bit of detail about that legislation? What were you trying to solve and what the remedies were in the legislation?
Yes. So LB 227 has been divided up to where part of the money that all filters through the Center for Nursing, really as kind of the pass through the fiscal agent. NHA's role has been in addressing the vulnerable populations. It has been in my area, the workforce. We have six projects under that. That was to increase clinical practice instructors at the bedside. So we left our MSNs in the classroom. That increased, you know, our enrollment this fall by 108 nursing students. And we're so happy of that and proud of that. But what that was saying in regulations, Rule 97 says if you can come up with an innovative approach, then you can not bypass, but you can enter it into a project. And so the Center for Nursing, Dr. Ann Ortwick and I wrote an innovative approach. And it was, let's take our ADN nurses that are RNs at the bedside, the best, right? And let them be clinical practice instructors for our nursing students. Let's leave our MSNs in the classroom, but let's have them mentor our CPIs, our clinical practice instructors. We paid out of that money a healthy increase to their salary. We give 8% to the hospital for allowing us to use their staff. We pay the mentor back at the college, and we give the college 8% to allow us to use their faculty to mentor. But we also pay the student reimbursement for travel and overnight stay if they're willing to go to a rural clinical rotation. And what has come out of that is we have two of our schools that have now added a rural rotation into their nursing program.
That's an impressive design. Yes, I'm so glad you're sharing this on the podcast so that others can hear the playbook.
Yeah, you know, and that's just really a couple of the six projects under LB 227. We are taking on a statewide onboarding where all student nurses will be onboarded through our platform versus the hospital systems having to have all these people that do onboarding, which takes hours away from them being in clinical. We are onboarding them. So everyone that pops on through our partner Symphony Workforce and Find the Why, students will come on, they will do a 10-day challenge. And if it's on HIPAA, they will immediately take our micro-credential for HIPAA and become certified. They have a digital resume. So if the hospital says, I have Stacy and Vaughn as clinical students, they can pull up our digital resume and those micro-credentials are right across the top. So they know that I'm current in those. And it can be anything from infection control, bloodborne pathogens, HIPAA, medical ethics, patient rights and communication. We throw financial literacy in there and an OSHA 10. So those are very widely designed based upon the needs of our system. But that also rolls into our pipeline for our high school kids who are on paid internships, they're taking the same onboarding. And then they go into student nursing or any other allied health profession, and it's the same onboarding. So we are always making sure that they are consistent and that there's nobody out of compliance in one of our hospitals.
I love that design. Well, this is a good moment for me to ask you about the Healthcare Heroes Elementary Program and how that is the start of the Health Careers Initiative that you are also leading.
Yeah, and if it weren't a podcast, you'd probably see me up dancing because it's probably my most favorite thing of all. So I've only been at the NHA a year. You know, my previous life has been as a college dean and all of those things. NHA approached me about writing a statewide curriculum. And it's important for me to say that we have so many pockets of excellence across our state, but it was getting something that was a little bit more concise, a little bit more consistent, that could be in every part of our state, right? And I agreed to do that if I could start it in third grade. And I'm sure my colleagues now would look at me and think, we thought you were crazy, third grade, right? But you really have to start the excitement young. You have to be the people who establish the strongest relationship before something that may be negative in their life gets a hold of them, right? There should never be a reason why any student should say to me, I didn't know I could be this, or I didn't know I could be that, or we only have the railroad in my community, so I'm just going to work for the railroad. Not that the railroad is anything wrong. My great-grandfather worked for the railroad. But if that's not their love, why should that be their default? So we had amazing funders, the Nebraska Hospital Association, the Nebraska Healthcare Foundation, which is our long-term care, nursing home, assisted living organization, the Nebraska Medical Association, which are our docs, and Medica, all funded the writing and the development of that program. So I wrote the program, Healthcare Heroes, and it's for third through sixth grade. And it's based on the American School Counselor standards on mindset and behavior. And I did that because I wanted to make sure that the schools would feel comfortable, that there was a strong foundation for what they do in the school day and what we were bringing to the table. It's 1 hour a week. It's all school year. And the students learn the first 6 to 7 weeks about their own values, their superpowers, those things. And then they're introduced to 32 different health professions. But Vaughn, I think the most interesting thing is it's written so that even a person without any knowledge of healthcare could teach it.
Does it tap out at sixth grade, or would it be well received at the high school, for example?
Yeah, so what happens after sixth grade is then in our middle school, our students start taking summer camps that we've partnered with our AHECs, our area health education centers, our colleges, our HOSA chapters, our hospitals, and nursing homes. And we set up, I wrote curriculum at that level, so it could be a 2-week summer camp. So the goal is when they're in elementary school, Vaughn, they're being exposed to 32 different professions. Now we're getting them into middle school camps and we're saying, let's narrow that to about 15. And that doesn't all have to be patient care. It could be diagnostics, it could be environmental, it could be finance, it could be, you know, admin. But let's still keep you in our world, right? And then when they get to 9th and 10th grade with our partner Symphony Health, we designed a hybrid internship. So it's all virtual, but these kids are connected to our hospital partners and they are working on our challenges. Industry pay the prize money for these. So these kids are winning scholarships. They're winning actual money, you know, all sorts of things through that. But the key is we're still connected to them. And then in 11th and 12th grade, we have a project with Intern Nebraska. In fact, we're getting ready to place 21 interns here in a few weeks, and they're paid $20 an hour. And they are, right, I know, I'm just like celebrating. And the thing of it is, it's 15 hours a week, but only 5 to 6 are actually at the hospital. Those other 9, they are doing our challenges and our onboarding. So they can still participate in sports, band, music, time for academics. But Vaughn, they're still connected to our hospitals. You know, it's kind of like if you think of athletic recruiting, my goal is then by the time they're a senior, our hospitals are engaged to help them pay for that first 2 years of college, get them to that first license. So it truly is third grade all the way through that associate degree level.
So you talk about the camps that help students focus on 15 occupations. Can you give some examples of what those range of occupations are?
Sure. So what I do, I think it's probably one of the most important partnerships, is I work closely with the colleges in a geographical area. And so, for instance, if we know a hospital sitting out in Cozad, Nebraska, has a need, or these are the services they provide, and I can work with one of our colleges, we have our kids on our platform tell us, what do I want to go into? Do I plan to leave the state? You know, where do I want to work? How far will I travel to go to school? All of those things. And then we look at who are the health professionals sitting around us. And those health professionals at those colleges, they come in and help teach the camp. So the camps are 4 hours a day for 4 days a week for 2 weeks. So Monday may be respiratory therapy. Tuesday may be occupational therapy. Wednesday may be CNA and medical assisting. So we really gauge it on what is the industry around there and what are the students in that space telling us that they want to do when they graduate.
And I assume that both the elementary school experience and, as you mentioned, the middle school and maybe even the high school, they're all in-person experiences, right, with engagement with the curriculum?
Correct, yes. And it's 1 hour a week. And the other thing that I think is important is how do you staff, right? So a lot of these are in after-school programs. And they'll say, you know, we just don't have the staff. Well, the beauty is we've partnered with, you know, Clarkson College, Chatterton State College, Nebraska Wesleyan, and our high school HOSA kids that are going in 1 hour a week and teaching these. So that's the facilitators that I'm training. And they're actually the ones going in and teaching it. We have folks that actually live at out west, that live at one of the nursing homes in a small community. One's a retired nurse, one's a retired teacher, and they actually go over to the elementary school and they teach it. So for me, Vaughn, then I think, now we're addressing elderly loneliness, an unintentional outcome of this program that I never even thought about. But we really are, because it gives them value. They're back in front of the people that they've been their whole life.
Well, this is such thoughtful work. Congratulations, Stacey. And it's hard for me to imagine that. No, you could not have done that in 1 year. That's an amazing work.
Yeah. So we piloted it last spring. So spring of 24 in 8 elementary schools across our state with 611 kids. As of yesterday morning, we have it in 30 schools and we're at 3,087 kids in the 3rd through 6th. And it's amazing. We had successful summer camps. We had schools that said, we loved it so much. Can we please just run it all summer in our summer program? Absolutely. And then, you know, we have more programs on board to start in January.
Well, I'm sure that's a welcome news to our listeners who know that workforce development takes time. And the fact that you were able to roll it out that fast and scale it that fast. Congratulations.
Thank you. And, you know, too, Bon, I think it's important for me to say they can hop in at any point. I don't want anyone, any of our listeners to think, well, if they didn't start in third grade, then those kids are all out. Absolutely not. They can start with us in 11th grade. You know, they can start in 12th grade. They can start at the student nurse internship point, which is another one of the LB227 programs. Through that funding, we will place student nurses in internships. So not their clinical, but their internship. And we will pay $9.25 toward their hourly salary.
If somebody is wondering if the pathway program is maybe too early, like, talk about the mechanism in which it's flexible and not pigeonholing a student, you know, too early in one profession. How do you think about that?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, we really explored 32 different professions. Last week, I was at one of our elementary schools. Our local news station came out and visited. And when you ask the kids around the table, what do you want to be? They're like, police officer, an Olympic athlete. There was one person who said a nurse. That did not bother me at all. Not one little bit, because they don't know anything other than a doctor or a nurse. You know, we have one of the first lessons, we hold up all these different cards and none of them had a clue what any of those were. You know, so we're doing the right thing at the right time. And so we're just exposing them. And like I said, and then in middle school, we're trying to help them narrow it down to about 15. And then we narrow it down to about 10. And by the time they're juniors and seniors, let's narrow it down to about 2. And there will be so many of those that'll say, I want to be in healthcare, but I don't like blood. Great. Let's help you redesign your pathway, right? But you can still be in health.
Your Healthcare Heroes elementary school program, do you license out that content or make that publicly available for others to use?
We do. So it's all copyrighted all the way down to the graphics. The NHA and our funders, you know, have all said that Nebraska Healthcare Foundation and Medica and the Nebraska Medical Association said it will be free for anyone in Nebraska. That is our commitment. Part of the way that we can do that, Vaughn, is we have a small licensing that we do. So each school would be a license, and that's, you know, a minimal cost. But like an association in another state could say, we want it in 15 schools, and they'll pay for that grouping of license. But they get all the curriculum, they get the book, you know, all of those things, and mentoring, training, all of that through there. So yeah, I mean, it is available, but then we take those funds and put them right back into the program in our state.
If a listener is wanting to knock on your door or somebody's door to license that material, do they reach out to the hospital association or to you directly? Like, how would they go about doing that?
They would reach out to me, and I'm happy to share that contact information. And then our team gets them connected. We share our pricing. We connect them with Symphony, you know, depending on how far out they want to build their pipeline. Some will say, we really just want the high school piece, or we really just want the digital resume, or we want the pipeline first, or we're ready to go, right? So there's so many different options. I said, we're galvanizing a national movement. Let's get these kids aware of what's out there.
I love that. I love that. Now, you mentioned a number of uses for your funding, everything from curriculum development to underwriting the student experience to stipends, for example. How do you think about what employers contribute versus what is funded by, for example, this legislation?
You know, the thing that we talk about with anyone of our hospitals that come on board with us, no money is given forever, right? We wish it would be. You know, we have that funding and we feel good about the time frame of that funding. But when you start to build our six projects into their culture, it becomes a part of their natural budget. If they look at their budgets and say, you know, we have people not using tuition remission, you know, or we have so many requests, but we don't have enough funding. And we come in and say, we're doing all your onboarding. You can reallocate those funds. Right. If we're doing your recruiting and you, one of the beauties is they can contact NHA and say, I want you to send me your eight best that you know are sitting in my community. And then that's what we do and say, now take care of our eight best as you're looking for your top four. But we've been able to do that. I said the program really takes it to working with students who are committed versus considering. And that's the funding piece for any industry. Is where are you going to align your funds with that? And that has to be their engagement. You know, we cannot in any way rely totally on a grant, on legislative funding. You literally have to say, I believe enough in it that it's part of our culture, it's part of our budget.
Well, I am cheering you on. It's so exciting to hear about all this great work that you have going on in Nebraska. Why don't we close out, Stacey, by asking you, what do you see as the future of the healthcare workforce and the care that is provided?
Yeah, it's so exciting. It really is. You know, we use the words crisis and challenges, and I like to say those are unbelievable opportunities to do business as unusual. It's an opportunity to be a creative disruptor. You know, our model for the pipeline can be transferred to any industry. I wrote it specifically so we could send it off to any other industry by just having their curriculum. That's really the future of healthcare. You know, it's healthcare providers understanding what is source control. It's construction workers understanding how do you have to maintain infection control in the hospital. So it's the team approach across industries. I also see us as developing positions, which is a project we're working on now, developing positions for kind of that utility batter, right? I'm 60 years old and I just can't do that CNA heavy lifting work. But you've stacked enough of my credentials and given me enough opportunities that I can go do some occupational therapy tech stuff or PT tech, or I can work as a community health worker and help with the social side of medicine. So, you know, Vaughn, I think it's saying everything doesn't need a 2 or 4 year degree. No shade to my academic friends. But what do they really need to know to provide the best care that they can and for themselves to survive in healthcare.
Well, thank you very much, Stacy, for joining us today. We certainly learned a lot about what you're doing.
Thank you, Vaughn. I just appreciate the chance. As you can tell, I get excited talking about our projects, and I appreciate the chance to share that with other people and for you to give me that opportunity today. It's always exciting to talk about things that we're doing.
Oh, it's very exciting. I'm Vantone Quinlevin with Futura Health. Thanks for checking out this episode of Workforce RX. I hope you will join us again as we continue to explore how to create a future-focused workforce in America.